Hey guys, welcome back to Listen Bitch Presents. Tell me what makes you special. This is the arena where we don't just talk about health, we talk about the things people miss until they become massive problems later. Because the truth is, a lot of people are walking around exhausted, anxious, mouth breathing, sleeping terribly, struggling to focus, and they have no idea that airway might be part of the story. And when it comes to kids, most parents know something is off long before anyone confirms it, but too many systems are reactive instead of preventative. And God designed the body intelligently, which means when something is struggling, there's usually a deeper reason. So today we're going to talk about airway health, and my audience is like, "Oh my God, she's going to tell us to breathe through the nose," because I do that a lot. Early orthodontics,
Good.
neurodivergence, parenting, purpose, and learning to trust both science and discernment. Today's guest is Dr. Amanda Wilson. Thank you so much for coming into the hot seat. She is an orthodontist and consultant focused on airway-centered, non-extraction orthodontics and helping doctors rethink how they approach children's health and development. Amanda, take me to the moment you realized that traditional orthodontic education was missing something important.
Sure. And just to let your readers know, just right off the cuff, if I sound a little funny or if I get off on like crazy rabbit holes, I am neurodivergent, autism spectrum. So sometimes you're going to hear the ADHD in me and the autism in me, the really like focused person. So apologies in advance. But yeah, one of the cool things about being neurodivergent, and to be honest, y'all, I wasn't even diagnosed until this last year at age 51. So I had no idea when I picked my career at orthodontics. It actually probably was a great fit for me because the ADHD and the autism, they help to promote pattern recognition, and that's what orthodontics is all about. So once you see patterns, you can't unsee patterns, and we're really good at bottom-up thinking and seeing trends that other people don't see. So I, not just me, there are many, many orthodontists started noticing maybe we, if we do orthodontics differently, it can be cheaper for the patient, better for the patient, and we can get a better outcome. And orthodontics in general, just to give you guys a quick nerdy history lesson, it's changed dramatically. You're pretty young, so you maybe,
Oh,
have
I
a different
love that you said
experience.
that, girl.
Okay. Well,
Not
those
at
of us,
all.
I'm going to put myself in Gen X, because I definitely am a proud Gen Xer, analog child turned into a digital child. So
Bear with
when
me.
we first started, this is orthodontics was just a rite of passage. Everyone got braces or headgear. Ugly metal retainers. That's what you did. You went to school, you wore it, you looked awkward, and then it was all done by the time you graduated and got your senior pictures. It was just a terrible thing you had to go through. But we rocked it and we made it awkward and cool, right? So it was fine. But that's when I graduated, how things still were. And then suddenly Invisalign came on the scene and then everything started changing. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It's called progress. It's called using digital technology. Anytime we get progress in digital technology, the cost to play can go down. So what this did is this lowered the overhead costs and it actually made the process more simple so that there was no longer a barrier to entry for primary care dentists. So a primary care dentist is your family dentist. You're the one that cleans your teeth and checks your cavities, or it could be your pediatric dentist if you're a kiddo, same thing, just primary adult, primary family, primary pedo. So, they started dabbling because a dentist can do anything. A general or primary care dentist can pull out teeth, just like a, physician, your family physician can deliver a baby if they wanted to. So, but it doesn't go the reverse. Now that I'm an orthodontist, I can't go back and do root canals. It's kind of not fair, right? So I'm limited to only orthodontics. Okay, so with that being said, you understand the stage of the history. So things started evolving as things do in the world. And I realized that there were a lot more primary care dentists dabbling their toes into it, which I thought was actually kind of great. Maybe not great for my pocketbook because that's less food on my plate. But I thought it was great for the patients because now they had more access to care and more options. Because a lot of times before in your city, you only had one orthodontist. And if your orthodontist said, you don't need to start, you don't need braces, or you need to wait, that's what you did. You didn't have other options. Now this opened up like teledentistry and so many other options. And patients became more educated as to what was out there. And nobody wanted the, most people don't want the ugly metal grill,
Of course.
So that's basically how it happened. And then from there, I was like, gosh, what if we did it this way? So I was practicing in Silicon Valley, during the heyday of all the tech stuff, and I had a lot of patients that were like, well, I got a travel doc for a few months. I need to keep going with my Invisalign. Let's see if we can find a way to make this happen. So we were kind of doing some janky teledentistry, back 15 years ago, before there was apps and all. I mean, there was no apps. I mean, you could only send a static picture on like a flip phone, right? That was it. And it wasn't even that good, but it was something. Something's better than nothing. So, but I even had patients sometimes that would take regular pictures on a regular camera, print it out at Long's or CVS, back then, and mail it. I mean, there's all kind of ways you can do things. So anyways, that's how this all started, the change. And once I knew that we could do things better, cheaper, get better access to care, I couldn't practice the old way again. I just couldn't. It just, in the pit of my stomach, it felt wrong. So I set out there to create an educational network so I could teach more people and therefore they could provide better services to their patients. Sorry, long intro, but you get the
No,
idea.
I love that so much. And first of all, you're talking about the headgear and the metal that kids went through. I was on the side of the spectrum where we were too poor for it. And so I lived with that, the big teeth gap, the big gap and people would be like, "Do you floss with a boat rope?" So I lived through that era. Absolutely.
But
But
let's
if you're,
talk about that real quick. Do you mind if
yeah,
I just expand on that? So
no,
wasn't
yes.
that traumatic for you? Like that's why I felt like I needed to speak
Yeah.
up because some things have to be addressed when you're little and you don't have to spend the whole 6,000, 7,000. Let's just fix that gap. Let's just fix that bite. Let's
Yeah.
just make the kid not have buck teeth so that they're not getting teased at school. The teasing, I had a gap too. I got so much teasing and I didn't get my gap closed till I was 17, till my parents could afford it or until I was told I could have.
Yeah.
You know, and I got teased, and my life would have been different had I had orthodontics at 8. Matter of fact, when I was 8, I was taking now and laters and paper clips and making retainers and wearing them to school
Yes.
because I thought they were
I can
cool.
see exactly. That's awesome. Yeah, I used to think I wanted them, and I actually went my whole life without needing them, and there's still a tiny gap, but my teeth grew together. So it worked
That's good.
out. The kids making fun of me, I had to spend the money. I didn't. Thank the Lord for that. So let me ask you, when did you start seeing things that really bothered you? What really stood out? What was the pattern where you were just like, there has to be a different way, and how does this tie into the airway issues and why that's so overlooked with our
Sure.
babies?
Totally. I mean, I started, okay, so there was an aha moment where I was treating actually a family member of ours. It was a not really close, but kind of distant. And the family member at the time was 8. And the family member was suffering from bedwetting. And that's not, people don't think that has anything to do with teeth, right? But it actually does.
Yeah.
It may not be, but it may be. So there is research that connects it. And if anyone ever wants to find research, I'm just going to tell you guys how to do it. Just put in, it's called, I think it's called enuresis is the medical term. It's probably not written as bedwetting. And if you want to find out actual literature or medical journal, you have to put in the medical term. So enuresis, comma, orthodontics, or it might be palatal expansion, comma, scholar. Put that into Google or chat or anything like that, and it'll bring up all the literature that literally supports it. So there is support in that. This patient had been suffering. This patient was not even able to go to a slumber party, and that's a problem in third and fourth grade. If you can't go to a slumber party, you can't socialize, which makes you uncool in your class. I
Right.
mean, that's your life. And kids get really depressed. They get teased. They get bullied. And they didn't think this had anything to do with orthodontics. This was just something that they were going through. They were going to every single specialist, and they were in a big city with good medical care. Nephrologists, pediatric nephrologists, all this diagnostic scanning, expensive, painful procedures, and it hadn't been solved yet. You know, this poor child had to wear underwear with a bell at night that would go off at 3 in the morning so that the parent could come in and get them up. Okay. So we said, well, kids going through a lot. Let's just go ahead. Time to start orthodontics. Now, when I screened the patient, I noticed I heard speech issues and I could see a bit of a tongue thrust or a lisp.
Okay.
Also a small anterior open bite and some spacing. So I knew there was something going on called myofunctional or airway issues. Back then, 15 so years ago, there really wasn't this whole airway movement. There really wasn't myofunctional therapists like we have now. So we just tried some exercises at home. We put in a little appliance, we did some stretching, and it got better. And we were able to close that down, fix the posterior crossbite in the back, fix the vaulting of the palate. Issues went away, bedwetting went away. And they were like, huh. Well, that's weird. How'd the bedwetting go away the same time as the orthodontics? I don't know. I said, I guess you just outgrew it. I didn't think it was connected at all until 10 years
Right.
later. I saw the research and I was like, holy cow, we can change the lives of these kids, make them look better, feel better. And this kid's life changed. Next week, mom says, kid's going to parties now. Kid is, popular. Kid's going, being invited to birthday parties. You know, this kid changed forever. And
Yes.
trauma in a kid, now that I've
Oh,
gone through
yeah.
all this trauma training, if we can get kids just a tiny, and this, and the lab fee on this appliance, I'm telling you guys, this is not full orthodontics. This is $100.
Yeah.
That's what it cost me to make it. And it's only a couple appointments. Everyone who needs that should have that at the age. And this shouldn't be a barrier to entry. It's a medical procedure.
Right. What are some of the signs that parents are dismissing? that can actually point to this. Someone that's listening that might be like, oh,
I think the most
interesting.
simple sign is just making noise at night when you sleep. That's not normal. I mean, if it happens occasionally, maybe you have a cold or, a little virus or something. Yeah, occasionally we all make noises when we sleep. But if you're routinely having interrupted breathing, sleeping with your mouth open at all, your mouth should never be open when you're sleeping. So there's a few, and I don't know how geek out we want to be, but can I give your listeners three like books or
Please.
a movie to listen to? Okay,
Yeah.
cool. These are not dental movies or dental books. These are like things that anyone can buy, but they really go into this if you want to learn more. So I'm gonna grab my paper just to make sure I pronounce it right. So one of them is a book you can get at Amazon called Breathe, Breathe, with an E, not breath, but breathe, because there's two different books. This is by James Nestor. It should be a yellow book. If you like the Joe Rogan podcast, he actually interviewed this and it was great. That's actually how I heard it first, was from the podcast, and then I went back to read it. So great book. Another book is called Jaws. There's two Jaws books. There's one that has a shark on it, and then one that has an X-ray of teeth. Pick the one that has the X-ray of teeth. That's another one. And then one more is a movie. This is from Netflix, but you can't be on the ads plan. You have to be on the not ads plan. I don't know. I just, at least in the United States, but it's called Open Wide. And it is about the orthotropics or mewing movement. If you know about mewing, all those teenage boys are like mewing. You ever seen that? You
No,
haven't seen
and I
mewing?
have teenage boys, so you're gonna have to tell
Okay,
me
you asked them
better
about
than
it.
I
Was kind of
can.
like a few years ago. It's not like Sig 7, which is not cool anymore either, or Skibidi, but it's before Sig 7 and Skibidi. But ask them about mewing. Just stroke your chin like this, like the angle of your mouth, like, make your chin big, and they will know what that means. Just do that to them and see what they say. It's called mewing. It's not about cats. It's about jaw positioning, jaw posture, and jaw strengthening, led by the late John Mew. Now his son Mike Mew is taking over, but that moving is about it. That's legit stuff. So those are the three things that kind of shaped my mind. And then if people want to learn more, those are great ref resources to go
So we
to.
need to start mewing for real.
I don't know if you have to mew is like an exaggerated version, but the point is using your jaws in kids. So just to give you guys to nerd out a little bit, and you'll get this more in the James Nestor book, but he goes through all the anthropological research where basically he's going to tribal cultures and he's being like, hey, tribal cultures in Africa, Asia right now, nobody has crowding. People don't have jacked up teeth. They don't have bite problems. Why? Because they're using their jaws properly as little kids. They're developing the muscles and they're growing the right way. You could do twin studies where one twin grew up in a third world, one twin grew up like in a privileged society and completely different as identical twins. So there is a small genetic component and people think it's all genetics. No, it's actually what you do with it. It's epigenetics.
I love that. I think let's nerd out about how breathing affects everything in your life, because it affects sleep, it affects focus, it affects mood, and obviously development. How much, I mean, what portion of
Well,
that?
yeah, it does.
I mean, I want to talk about that, the importance of that, because I think even, in a health journey, my listeners now, wherever they are, maybe they don't have little kids, but I mean, even breathing for ourselves. Like, I watch people mouth breathe all the time, and I think, man, that's one little thing you could fix that would change so much in your life right now.
And there is a direct correlation in the research between mouth breathing and mortality. Like, I'm not going to say because you mouth breathe, you're going to die early, but do the research. There is a link to having more systemic issues, systemic inflammation. There's a lot of links, and you can research this legitimately. And this is it connected to this, connected to this. But it might, and if we can just, it's not a hard thing to fix as long as you fix it when you're young. And then faces generally grow really nice once you fix that underlying problem, as long as there's no like for me, to be honest, I mean, I had all kind of airway issues. I had a broken nose because, I mean, I'm feral child, Gen X, always like scrapping. I think one time I got at camp when I was 13, I got hit in the face with a baseball, didn't tell my parents. I knew my nose was broken because it was like sitting funny and it was bleeding, but I didn't want to get in trouble because back then in the 80s, you get in trouble when you get injured, and I got in trouble one time I broke my finger at camp and my parents were mad. They blamed it on me.
Of
And I'm
course.
still to this day. So, I didn't tell anyone. And then my nose grew hecka crooked. My bite was crooked, and I'm still a little asymmetric, and I don't want people to go through that. They got to understand that we got to fix things really young, And the fun thing about fixing things young is it's not that expensive. If sometimes you don't even need to pay for things at all. Sometimes it's just a matter of just making changes to your environment and your posture.
No, I see that. I love that you're really passionate about fixing those things for kids now? Because it is a lot of stuff being put out. And I mean, what made you passionate about pricing? Did you see that a lot? Was that a pattern of like people just really aren't going through with it because of the costs?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. So I'll tell you a little bit more. So back in 2013, I started doing a lot of blogs. This was Land of Blogs. And a lot of my blogs are still on my channel. If anybody wants to check them out, they can probably put it up afterwards. But and I started realizing that the price, there wasn't many places to get aligners in the United States. There was some, but it was really expensive to get aligners. And really the only aligner brand at that time that was really big was Invisalign. There was a little bit ClearCorrect. And I started getting involved in realizing that the price to make plastic aligners, really, you can get it down to $15, $16, $17 a unit if you do volume. And I started doing the math and thinking, why are we charging these patients this much money? Like, this is crazy. Like, we on our end, if we do things right, we can do this in 3 or 4 office visits at $15, $17 per aligner. Let's run the math,
Yeah.
So I said, well, what if I start lecture putting the information out there so primary care dentists can access the information, because it was too hard for them. Like, they didn't know how to do it. So I just taught people how to do it, and now they've got the resources, just access to care. That's all it is.
Yeah. I love that. You talked about in your intro about being neurodivergent, and I'm a little neurospicy, and yeah, I got the diagnosis and kind of ignored it for a very long time, but I realized just my brain is just a little different. It's a little different.
That's okay.
How did it really, how has it been the benefit for you to have seen these patterns and to solve these problems? And is there something that the medical or the dental world gets wrong about neurodivergence?
Sure, yeah. And I think female neurodivergence in old and we call it late diet female late diagnosed neurodivergence is its own category. Late diagnosed means later, not as a child. And I wasn't diagnosed till last year. So I didn't even know what that was until a year ago, until I started doing a lot of research in orthodontics. And ADHD started coming up. And I started learning, well, what causes ADHD? Because I only remembered one type of ADHD kid in my practices. It's the boy that's jumping around, can't sit in the chair. I've had those in my class for, that's nothing new. They've been in my class my whole life. But then I started really connecting more with doctors in the mainland. I live in Hawaii, so our doctors are a little more conservative, but also in Europe. And I started reaching out for resources there. And I find out that females can actually have neurodivergence, but it's more hidden. It doesn't show. But I mean, to be honest, my brain is telling me, get up, move around. Like, that's what my brain is saying to do. But girls, honestly, in the 80s and 70s, we got beat. Like, if we were naughty at school, it was not how it is now. You and even in the 80s and 90s, if you couldn't behave at school, it was either military academy or boarding school. And those got threatened to me, maybe not military academy, but we definitely got boarding school. And my parents weren't joking. I saw people at church that would just disappear for 6 months. These kids would be 12, 13, 14 and gone. Where did they go? They're not going to church anymore. Oh, they went to a camp, I didn't want to go to a camp. So I just listened. I watched the boys in my class that had to go off and take the meds. I said, I'm not doing that. I'm just going to sit nicely and listen, even if it kills me. But by the time I get home, I would be so exhausted because all that energy to sit nice and do what you're told is really, really, really hard. And then you just dysregulate and you don't have the energy to do your homework. All you want to do is just lay around or run around, And yeah, so they say you can only be diagnosed as an adult if you showed signs as a kid. So the problem is when you do the testing as an adult, the signs that we show isn't always there. Like,
Yeah, exactly.
it takes a lot of trauma therapy to be able to go back and figure it out. But once I connected all the dots, I was like, oh, this is kind of funny. And then I had so much fun telling my whole family, because if this, unless you're adopted, this is an presumed autosomal dominant condition, which means you have a parent or parents who have it. Usually it's parents, because very rare does a neurodivergent marry a neurotypical, because it would just be, unless it was the most chill neurotypical who smoked a lot of weed, they wouldn't be able to handle you because you're a spaz.
Yeah.
You're like a lot. You're a
My
lot.
husband's listening like she's accurate because he's definitely I'm the
And
spaz.
bless them,
Yeah.
bless those cool
I say it all
neurotypicals.
the
And there's a
time.
few in my
Yes.
family.
Very
They're
much.
just very chill, but and they just look at the whole thing as entertaining.
Yeah.
But yeah, so then I had so much fun going back to my siblings and aunties and being like, I think you're this. And some of them denied it, and some of them got mad, and some of them said, okay, maybe I am. But it actually made things in my family significantly better, because I think once I let go of all the trauma, like, I went through a whole like Christian-based forgiveness program in order to, this was a process because I needed to get rid of this so I could move forward and just focus on helping people. So once I forgave everyone for all the trauma and everything, and I laughed because I'm sure I wasn't great either, you know, and we kind of debriefed with everyone. Everyone I owed an apology to, I did my inventory, I talked to them, and our family's way better for that. So
I
I'm
love
happy for
that
that.
so much, and I feel like that's something that I love my listeners to hear is just the real life of that experience of, you know, for us to move forward, for you, Dr. Amanda, to move forward and to be able to help other people, you really do have to let go of the baggage. Like, we can't
Yeah.
change what happened, but we can have a different perspective on it. And I feel like
Right.
once we get some answers to that and we can put the pieces together, there is a level of like, oh, okay, I can let this go, and I love that. How do you balance being a business owner, the mom, the wife, an expert in your field? What is balance to you?
Don't know. I live in Hawaii in like a tiny town with chickens.
Oh, I
So
love it.
it is real, and you're so lucky you're not hearing the chickens. Good thing we filmed this later in the day.
Yeah.
But it's really chill where I live, and I'm so not a chill person, but I have to be in a chill environment in order to be able to use my brain. So I love it. I have a kind of a regimen. I get up in the morning, I pray, I get my coffee, I sit out in my hammock, I see my chickens, my cats, and you know, do some work with my clients, and then I do podcasts or listen to podcasts. I'm always grabbing as much information as possible. I make content and then I help all my clients and write blogs, and that's my day, and it's really fun.
I love that. We kind of have a similar start. I feel like if I'm not grounded, this is my 3rd year of going through the Bible in a year, and people
Cool.
are always like, "Brandon, how do you like do all the things?" First of all,
Yeah.
my brain can't not do all the things. Like,
Yes.
the days I don't have anything on my calendar, I am frozen. I'm like, I
Sometimes
don't know who to be right. I don't know how to, what am I doing? I freeze.
your schedule falls apart and you're like, oh my gosh. And then I'm like,
No.
oh, nails, nails, nails. Let's get
Yes.
nails done.
If it's not booked, I'm very lost. But at the same time, people are like, how do you do it? And it's that grounding. It's that moment every morning, first thing I reach for, I've been very disciplined, is going to be the Bible before the phone. It is that chill, like, I just want to be quiet. I'm going to give this to God. I need his help today. Like, you know, whatever it is, I love that that's how you start your day, and that a lot of people think that it is a constant going, and it's not. There's a lot of sitting in that space. There's a lot of just being. For me to be able to be completely here in a conversation with you, to be available, to be able to pay attention, there's a lot of just being. There's a lot of like grounding work and breathing through my nose.
And then,
Yeah.
oh no, one other thing I was going to tell you is that, and this is the mistake a lot of founders or really type A people do, is that they say yes too much.
Oh,
You
yeah.
know, and before, when I first got started, I would take everything. I mean, 3 a.m., you want me to get up, do a podcast? Yeah, let's go. 3 a.m. No, I don't do that anymore.
No.
So now I turn off and unplug by 6 p.m., maybe 6:30, maybe 5 sometimes. And I don't even look at my work emails anymore. So, and that took some getting used to because it's hard. They'll pile up, you know, and then it gives me a solid 12 hours of just focusing on family, worshiping. Sometimes I watch fun movies that are secular, you know, singing. I do a lot of worship singing just around the house, you know, and just getting grounded. This has made my day so much better, you know.
Absolutely. You also in you talk about purpose and flexibility. I just did a whole episode on my Listen Bitch podcast about the season of life that we're in. So, with talking about purpose and flexibility, what matters most to you in this season of life?
Purpose, you know, we live our day with a purpose. You know, right now my purpose is to make the world better. I don't know what that means, but every day I get up, I pray, I say, God, how can I make the world better? How can I help one person? And that's my focus for the day. Instead of before, my focus was, how can I make the most money in the day? And the, which, you know, like, how productive can I be? That was my own personal metric, my own KPI. My day wasn't good unless I made my threshold. Now I don't even think about that. Here's the thing, I stopped marketing. I stopped paying for marketing. I stopped paying people to market for me. I had full-on marketing team up until last fall. I stopped when I started this regeneration recovery spiritual guidance program. And the point of this program was to give it all up to God and to use prayer to guide your business, which is the scariest thing if you've never done this. And my business went down. I mean, but I expected it would.
Of course.
It went down and it got real scary for a while. And I'll be honest, when our taxes went rolled around this year, since we're both self-employed, my husband looked at me and he's like, what the heck happened? I'm like, I don't know. And he was not happy. So, and then I gave my testimony at church last week on the 7th, 2 weeks ago. The next day, another client came back. The next day, another client came back. The next day, another client came back. And within the week after this, my business went back to where it was, and I didn't do anything. And that was the most. If you can't say that wasn't God, what was it? There's no way I'm a math nerd. There's no way, statistically speaking, that anything else would have been besides God. God, I focused on God. I gave my business and my provision up to God, and God made sure I was provided for.
I'm in that season right now. And that's kind of what I was talking about on my podcast is like we're in different seasons and sometimes it's really quiet and that's kind of the building. And then sometimes I feel like God really preps us for one reason, to see that he gets the glory. Like you don't get to say I did anything for the metrics. It wasn't like, yeah, I started showing up and I
Oh no,
started
I'm
doing
giving him the glory now to
all the
everybody
gifts
because
that
like he deserves it. It's nobody but him. But I was obedient. And it's funny to hear me talking like this. So for your listeners out there, I want to preface this was I was an atheist all through high school. Like such an atheist that I grew up just to give you some background. This is kind of funny. My parents were like Southern, like one's from Arkansas, one's from Georgia, like Southern. Southern family, Mississippi, like yes ma'am, no ma'am, beatings, kind of stuff, Black Eyed Peas. They moved to Berkeley, California, which is in the 60s, which is as liberal as they were flower children, like what everything that comes with that. They were in San Francisco, Haight-Ashbury. So I grew up in like a dichotomy, like on one hand, it would be the Southern stuff in terms of respect and Jesus. And the other hand, it was like, what?
Everyone's God.
So that's me. I'm confused, but yeah, it's crazy. So when I tell you I give it all up to God, like, I mean, the angel, either the hell's on fire, the angels are singing. I don't know, because this is something that would never have come up to my mouth. And I know my dad is thrilled, but I'm doing it my own way. I'm not doing it his way. So.
And that's just it. I think it's a very personal relationship. My husband actually, when I met him, he was an atheist, and that's been a very long time. I don't even know how long it's been, but he prays for us every night now, prays over, like he's seen all the proof. And what's really cool, Amanda, so we live in Michigan and our trees are huge. Like I'm talking mountains huge. And we have this one that it has this big branch that kind of hangs over our house. And we've lived here for like 12 or 13 years. And my husband says all the time, he's like, man, I'm really worried about that branch. And I'm always like, God has us, dude, we're fine. It's fine. Last night, I'm actually, or yesterday afternoon, he left for work. We got this huge sudden storm. I mean, it just came so fast and violent. And I felt weird outside. I was like, man, something feels weird. I run inside and I'm like, oh, I'm just gonna make, my tea or whatever. I hear this and feel it. Like I thought an earthquake came down. I'm like, what the heck is that? Huge thud, scared the shit out of me. I'm like shaking and I'm like, I don't understand what the hell just happened. I think someone drove through the house. So I'm looking at the roof because I felt it and I'm like, well, I don't think it was a tree because I don't see anything. So I peek around the door to see, make sure no one came in through the front of the house. Like it really feels like a truck hit the house. The storm calms down about 10 minutes later. I walked outside. That tree is on our house. And I'm like, oh my gosh, the tree's on our house. And so I wait a couple hours because I look in here and I'm like, there's no damage inside. But the damage on the outside is probably what matters the most, obviously. We wait a couple hours. My son and I get the ladder. We go up there, no damage. And this thing is huge on my house. The whole house is covered with this huge branch. And I'm like, I call my husband. I'm like, what did I tell you? And he's like, God has us. And I'm like, yeah, say that again because no damage, zero damage. And he's been worried about that tree for like 10 years. So again, totally off topic from our conversation. Talk about the neurospicy brain, because I just went down the whole rabbit hole of that. But no, it is. It's God. It always comes down to that. And he has us.
Totally.
No
He
matter
has
what, it's
us.
an amazing thing.
And once you have that faith, like definitively, you're not just saying it with your finger twisted behind your back, or I hope he does,
No.
once you can confidently say it and not think I'm lying in my head, your life changes.
It
Something
does.
happens.
It really does. I love that. Tell us about the program you created.
Sure. Which program is that? I've
The
created a few things.
one you were just talking about now with, the spiritual program, like
Oh, Regeneration Recovery.
regeneration, that's the word.
Oh, I didn't create that. That was
Oh, you
actually
went
created by
through it.
I went through it. Although
Ah.
I am training up to be a leader now. So this is you guys, this it's free. So I'm gonna send people there. And I did talk to one of the leaders and they were like, send people, it's fine. You can talk about it on
Yeah.
the podcast. So
I love that.
regeneration recovery, my understanding was it was started by a church called Watermark, or a foundation, which is a Christian foundation called Watermark. You can look that up if anybody wants to. But they go and they have a coursework program and they train people to train other churches how to teach 12-step values in order to get over anything that's going on in your life. So, I mean, it could be drugs, it could be alcohol. Those are typical, AA 12-step things, but it could just be anxiety. It could be just trauma. It's maybe not things that you've directly done wrong, but maybe they are things that you need help with in your life. Could be overeating, So they have a list of 100 things you could be recovering from, and they give you this list, and they say check out everything that maybe you've been through. And of this 100 things, some of them were like greatly illegal, like heroin, injectable drugs, prostitution. I had in the 80s, and some of the stuff is small stuff, but this is stuff that God maybe wouldn't like. I was like, like maybe I should make myself a little better. Like, and a lot of this was just adapting, like just trying to survive, Did I say a bad word? Yeah. And I say bad words sometimes. I'm not perfect. So, but it was a free program, and there was no, in my state in Hawaii, there was not a single in-person program. So I found one that did online, and it was based in Texas at a tech church called Lake Point. Lake Point has a lot of those of you from Texas has a lot of campuses. It's one of those mega churches, I think. And they said, yeah, it's rolling. You can join any week, you can start any week. So I joined up, and this was last spring, and I went through its entire year program. And you have like a stack of books, and it's so sweet. They match you with a group of ladies. I was with I think 11 ladies, and we have two leaders, and we went every week. And then they also assigned us a mentor or a sponsor who would meet with you weekly as well. It was a commitment. I'm not gonna lie. It was a good, if you actually did what you were supposed to do, did the own book, the book work, the reading, the small group work, the charting, the journaling, it's probably about 10 or 15 hours a week, if you actually do the work. But it takes you through the Bible, and it basically teaches you how to use the Bible as a resource for thinking, growing, making decisions, and how to use wise spiritual counsel if you have trouble. And you really don't need to go to a psychiatrist. I mean, yeah, I mean, if you need prescriptions, you do. But they teach you how to advocate for yourself, how to what's right, what's improper spiritual counseling. I mean, I learned how to use the Bible for everything, and I realized I had so much spiritual trauma, which means people using the Bible to get me to do things.
Weaponized,
And that weaponized spirituality is a problem, and that could be trauma. So once I got over all that, and it took a lot of work to get over everything, and it's still a process. It was incredible. So I just graduated last week. I'm doing leader training now, so I
Congrats.
welcome everyone. Yeah.
I love
So
that.
Thursday, 1:30 Central, you can join up. It's rolling. Anyone's interested, it's online. Just take a look.
I love that. Thanks for sharing that. Well,
Sure.
what are the first of all, I've always joked about there's not a guidebook for life because I emancipated at 15.
Well, good for you.
So
I wanted to do that at 15. So
yeah,
my dad was a lawyer, so I don't think that was
right.
going to happen. So
Yeah, no, my mom signed her rights off on me when I was like 12. So I didn't go to military school. I went to juvie. Very, very opposite end
okay.
of the whole deal. But
Yes.
anyway, so it going through that process, I joke about there's no guidebook to life, right? I've been figuring it out since I was 15, and I read the Bible and I'm like, oh, there's literally a guidebook to life, y'all.
Yeah,
It is
there
the
is.
literal guidebook, and Jesus is the model. Like, we have it
Yes.
all set in front of us. So I love that so much. What are the programs that you're working on? You said you have a few. What's next for you? What's your next big scary project?
Goodness. I mean, are you talking about in terms of like science and my business? Are you talking about in terms of
Sure. I mean, all
spirituality,
of it,
or
whole. Are you working on more than one thing right now?
always working on
I
stuff?
love
This
it. So, I
the
mean,
beauty of the neurodivergent brain is a lot of times you're
we're
starting
doing
multiple
everything.
things, and yeah, and then whatever sticks. I mean, it's like throwing stuff on the wall and see what sticks. I don't know how much I want to tell you that much, because not all the stuff may stick, and I have a tendency not to announce stuff unless I know it's going to
Oh,
stick.
that's
But
fair. I get that.
for the most part, right now I'm working on leadership training with Regen. I'm growing my spirituality here in Hawaii with some small groups. I'm really focusing on Podmatch, which is where actually I met you, which is a a company where they match people to go on podcasts. Because before, all my podcasts I was doing up until yesterday were all dentists, interviewing dentists, so B2B. Now I've had quite a few people say, hey, you've got a lot of interesting things to talk about. Why don't you go on like regular podcasts
Yeah.
where people just get to know you? So I prayed about that and I started doing it and started doing it yesterday.
Welcome
So
to
it's
the
been really
regular
fun.
podcast. That's awesome.
I
This is
like it. It's actually
took
more
effect
fun.
too. Yeah, I
Yeah.
love it.
So that's what I'm doing right now for the
Awesome.
most part.
I tell people
And
about
then
PodMatch, I'm like, it's dating. It's like dating for
it is.
podcasts. Swipe, match, pass, whatever.
Yeah, no, it's really fun. And it's cool because we never know. And I feel like all of us are neurodivergent for the most part. So we're just like having a great conversation.
Yeah. No, I very much agree with that. We are coming up on our time here. Where can people follow you, get resourced with you? Where can they stay plugged in?
Sure. Best way to reach me is probably my website, which is straightsmilesolutions.com. Keep in mind that this was a website that's written for dentists to be able to help their patients. So it's very dentistry, but within there, you're going to find pages like my video page, my blog page. There's a lot of content there. So even if you're not a dentist, there's a lot of information about dentistry, but I also even go into other things and I take requests as long as it's like loosely related to teeth. If you message me and say, hey, I want to hear about this, I'll do it.
Yeah, I love that. This is the part of the show where, for what it's worth, I get to tell you what I think makes you special. It's not
Thank
just your
you.
expertise. I think that's amazing, but I really think it's the heart that you put behind it. The fact that, you saw gaps in the system, you saw kids being overloaded, you saw parents needing answers. I love that space that you're working in, but not only that, just your journey through your relationship with Christ and being willing to be a voice for that, because I think that too many people have gone soft when it comes to what it means to be a follower of Christ. And I think that you're definitely someone who is stewarding the mission in a completely different way.
Thank you.
You're building something different, just the combining of science and discernment, compassion, education, spirituality. I think you're doing this in a way that's going to help so many people understand what's happening beneath the surface, not just in your business, but in real life relatability. So I'm happy that you're doing the regular podcast because I think your voice is very, very much needed on this end of this. And what the work you're doing matters deeply. I think that makes you special. To everyone listening, pay
Thank
attention.
you.
Pay attention.
Yeah.
Parents know more than they think they do. And I think when we try to outsource everything, we kind of take that instinct away from ourselves. Like we're not giving ourselves enough credit. So trust your instincts, ask the questions, look deeper. Prevention matters for your babies. Okay. We got off topic, but breathing does matter. It's even in the Bible. Okay. Breathing matters. Sleep matters. Development matters. God designed our body very intelligently. And sometimes the symptoms that we normalize are actually signals asking us to pay attention. So I'm just saying, be curious, you guys, be honest with yourself. Please remember your mess is your message. Whatever you're struggling with, whatever diagnosis you're facing, even in moments that you're feeling dismissed in this life, all of those experiences can become wisdom and help someone else. If this episode speaks to you, please help share the show out so that Dr. Amanda can get in touch with people that may need to hear her message. Okay. If you guys are ready for the hot seat, I dare you to come tell me why you're special. Dr. Amanda, thank you so much for coming on the show today. This was a lot of fun. It's
Thank you so
unexpected, but those are the
much.
best conversations.
Best show. Thank you so much.
Thank you.